Hey, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I always think that for anybody listening to the recordings, one after the other, they're going to hear me say the exact same thing at the very beginning. So I need to vary it up, but it's been a whole week since I said it last, so it feels fine to me. Anyway, I'm glad you all are here. Let's begin our time together, as we always do, with taking a few moments for meditation. So just a reminder, if you can mute your line by pressing star 6 so we keep our line nice and clear, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much. And let's begin. So if you're able, if you're not driving, allowing your eyes to close and turning your attention within. Bringing your mind to that place deep inside of you where love abides. It's not that it's deep inside, it's that we have fog or clouds on the surface. These clouds of fear that seem to obscure the light, obscure the love. And so we can just easily sink right past that fog, the blazing, shining light that's there. Connecting with your willingness and offering your willingness to Holy Spirit. This is our willingness to see differently, our willingness to keep an open mind no matter what, and our willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was. So bringing our willingness to Holy Spirit and saying, show me the miracle instead. Here you go. Here is my willingness to see differently. And it is done. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge by our request. So taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So we are about midway through the reading on rules for decision. So I'll first give us the page references, and then I'll do a brief little recap. So if you have the purple book, the complete and annotated edition by the Circle of Atonement, this is the book that I'm reading from. Please go to page 877. We'll start at the very top of the page. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, which is the most widely distributed edition, please go to Chapter 30, Part 1, Paragraph 11. We're starting with a sentence, this tiny grain of wisdom. So again, Foundation for Inner Peace, Chapter 30, Part 1, Paragraph 11. In the Sparkle edition, that's page 684, and it's paragraph number 6. And in the Course in Miracles Society original edition, it is, I don't think anybody is reading from this as far as I know, but it is chapter 30, part 2, paragraph 22. And just a reminder for those of you who might be reading along in a different edition, since I'm reading from the complete and annotated edition, the paragraph breaks might be different from time to time, which is totally fine. At this point, I don't think it's that different, but I just wanted to mention that. So we're in this really awesome section called Rules for Decision. And we talked about last week, one of the sentences is that decisions are continuous. So we don't always know when we're making decisions, but with a little practice, this I'm reading from last week, with a little practice in the ones that we recognize, there's a process that we can follow to see us through the rest. What we will read about tonight, because we'll finish up this section tonight, is really about how we are making decisions always with either the Holy Spirit or the ego. So we never make decisions truly by ourselves. It's either we're making a decision with the Holy Spirit or we're making a decision with the ego. So this whole section is about basically being open to asking for guidance in our decision making. And we can have, what we read about last week is that we can have our ideal spiritual day. So if we pause and think about the most ideal spiritual day that we can have, the Course says that if we make no decisions by ourselves, so in other words, if we're not deciding with the ego, but if we're deciding with spirit, this is the day that will be given us. And then these steps that this section walks us through are basically helping us out if we have already decided what it is that we want. If, in other words, we don't want to ask for guidance because we've kind of already made up our mind. So this section is giving us some steps to follow when we do get into that place where we recognize, I don't want to ask for guidance, or I don't want to, you know, check in with the Holy Spirit because we're already deciding the outcome that we want. This is basically walking us through a restorative. There's a short restorative, and if that doesn't work, the Course in this section gives us a longer restorative. So our quick restorative is basically telling ourselves, and this is our recap from last week, today I'll make no decisions by myself. So in other words, if I want that ideal spiritual day, I can get it by making no decisions by myself. I said both for the first step and the second step just then. First step, today I'll make no decisions by myself. Second step, if I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that will be given me. But if we've already decided the outcome, we can say, I have no question, I forgot what to decide. That statement brings us back to a space in our minds of open-mindedness, of like being that, I picture it like being that blank slate where now we're open to being shown. However, if saying, I have no question, I forgot what to decide, if that doesn't bring us back into a place of willingness to ask for guidance, if we're still feeling resistance, then we're given some more steps that we can follow to bring ourselves out of that resistance. Last week, we read a few of those steps. So this is part of the longer restorative. We could say, well, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now. And then we can say, I hope I've been wrong. And we can come to realize that we'd be better off if we were wrong. So this is kind of about the point where we left off, and this is where we will pick up with our reading. And you know what? I'm going to back up. So where I told you to start reading from, I'm just going to back up and reread the paragraph that we left off with last week. And then I'll let you know when we're getting to our new reading. I think this would be good just as a transition. So that last paragraph we ended with last week said, now you've reached the turning point because it has occurred to you that you will gain if what you have decided is not so. Until this point is reached, you will believe your happiness depends on being right. But this much reason have you now attained, you would be better off if you were wrong. So in other words, we've already made up our mind, and we're recognizing through these steps that we're going to be better off if we realize that we are wrong in already having judged and already having decided the outcome that we want. So here we now are flowing into our reading for this week. This tiny grain of wisdom will suffice to take you further. You are not coerced, but merely hope to have the thing you want. And you can say in perfect honesty, I want another way to look at this. Now you have changed your mind about the day and have remembered what you really want. Its purpose has no longer been obscured by the insane belief you want it for the goal of being right when you are wrong. Thus is the readiness for asking brought to your awareness, for you cannot be in conflict when you ask for what you want and see that it is this for which you ask. There's a footnote. Now, I've been reading, as we've been reading through this section, the footnotes in the complete and annotated edition have been really helpful. So there's a footnote next to this statement that I just read, I want another way to look at this. And our footnote says that this, so I want another way to look at this, this is the issue of being afraid of the Holy Spirit's guidance and being therefore unwilling to sit by and ask. Now, this I want to highlight how relatable this is. Right now, we're kind of just getting back into this, so this might be like a little bit obscure. But if you've ever been in a situation where you don't know what to do, or you're kind of worried about an outcome and you want something specific to happen, resistance can come in when we're asked to kind of let go of the outcome or to let go of what it is that we think is best for us or what it is that we think that we need. I think that we can probably all relate to that feeling of resistance. So this is what that is addressing. When we're having that resistance come up of asking for guidance openly with an open-ended question without deciding how the outcome can look, these steps are addressing that resistance. So this next step here is prompting us to say, I want another way of looking at this problem of being afraid of asking the Holy Spirit for guidance, of being not wanting to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. So we're changing our mind about the day, and we are remembering what it is that we really want. I'm going to read. I'm not going to do it just yet. I'll do it after the next paragraph, but there's actually a nice summary from Robert Perry's commentary on this section that I want to read to us that I think will be helpful. So before I do that, though, any comments or questions with where we are at so far? Okay, let's read another paragraph. So now we're on to the final step in this section. And I'll recap these in just a moment. This final step is the acknowledgement of lack of opposition to be helped. So this final step is the acknowledgement of lack of opposition to be helped. It is a statement of an open mind, not certain yet, but willing to be shown. So those statements are, perhaps there is another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? Thus are you made ready for a question that makes sense, and so the answer will make sense as well. Nor will you fight against it, for you see that it is you who will be helped by it. So these phrases in this paragraph, the prompt that we're getting to work with is saying, perhaps there's another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? Our footnote is explaining that we're not just broadly asking for another way to look at this. That statement, that second statement, what can I lose by asking, what can I lose by asking, that is essentially the other way to look at this. That's what this footnote is saying. The footnote says, the way you have been seeing things is that asking for the Holy Spirit's guidance means loss because it means giving up your self-made version of the day you want. Thus, the idea that you have nothing to lose by asking him is the new way to look at things. So perhaps there's another way of looking at this. My other way of looking at this is, hey, what can I lose by asking? That question is the other way of looking at this. There's nothing to lose by asking. I feel moved to keep reading, but I'll just pause for a moment. Anybody want to add anything? Okay, I'm going to read the next paragraph. It must be clear that it is easier to have a happy day if you prevent unhappiness from entering at all. But this takes practice in the rules which will protect you from the ravages of fear. When this has been achieved, the sorry dream of judgment has forever been undone. But meanwhile, you have need for practicing the rules for its undoing. Let us then consider once again the very first of the decisions which are offered here. We said you can begin a happy day with the determination not to make decisions by yourself. This seems to be a free decision in itself. And yet, you cannot make decisions by yourself. The only question really is, with what do you choose to make them? That is really all. So here we're seeing this introduction of the idea that I mentioned before, that it seems like we have free decision, that we can do whatever the heck we want, but we're not really deciding by ourselves. We are either deciding with the ego or we are deciding with the Holy Spirit. And if we're not consciously deciding with the Holy Spirit, or at least having built up a habit enough of turning to the Holy Spirit so it becomes more automatic, the default of not checking in with guidance is that we are asking for guidance from ego. We're making decisions with ego. We're judging with ego. So that's our default, which is what we are unlearning. Let's pause there. I'd love to see if anybody has any comments or questions so far.
Corinne?
Yes.
Hi, it's Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Perhaps I misunderstood or misheard. I've been doing a lot of tax prep today, so my mind's a bit muddled. So just correct me if I misunderstood this. But backing up to where you read, I think it was the footnote, or it may have been the commentary, I don't know, by Robert, and something, the way I heard it was something was said about acknowledging there must be another way is the other way. I know
exactly what you're referring
how that
to.
Was said.
No, but I know exactly what you're referring to. So there's two sentences in italics in this section, and they go like this. Perhaps there's another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? So that footnote was saying that first sentence, perhaps there is another way to look at this. The second sentence, what can I lose by asking? That second sentence, what can I lose by asking, is asking for another way to look at it. So it's not like it's saying, you know, ask for another way to look at this. It's actually the footnote is prompting us to just recognize that we're being it's suggested that we open to another way of looking at this by asking ourselves the question, what can I lose by asking?
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense?
I was really misunderstanding. I thought what you were saying was that is the other way of looking at it.
What can I lose by asking is the question that can prompt the other way.
The other way. Okay.
Yeah, that's
opening
us up. Yes.
That completely went over my head. Thank you.
No, but I think you heard correctly, because the footnote does say the question, what can I lose by asking, essentially is the other way to look at this. So,
okay, that's what I don't that's why I think either I'm hearing that wrong or I'm not agreeing 100%. I'm not saying that isn't another way of looking at it, but as I'm sitting here letting your reading flow over me, and I'm so saturated, I've been working on this business stuff for weeks, so my mind is really at its limit. I've been in that place, and I get very unhappy with my head being in that place too long. So I came onto the call very stressed, and I thought, okay, just let go. Let the reading flow over you. Don't try to grasp anything. Just, you know. And that's what I was doing. And as you were reading, it was all really connecting. Well, how could my days be different when I'm starting to feel more and more and more stressed? And what was coming in was all this, I can't even put it into words now, but were feelings and awarenesses of ways I can be in this differently, because a lot of why I'm feeling so stressed is because of how I'm looking at it. So the new way that was coming in was another way of looking at it. So Robert saying, by asking the question, that is the other way of looking at it.
I think we're on the same page. He seems to be saying that what can I lose by asking essentially is the other way to look at this. I get what he's saying, but what makes more sense to me is that the question, what can I lose by asking, is bringing about another way of seeing.
That makes sense.
The resistance. That resonates with me. Yeah, that resonates with me more. And by the way, I'm not saying anything negative. Like, Robert would agree with this. Emily would agree with this. Like, we don't have to agree with everything that he says. The footnotes are his, most of the time, extremely helpful take on what the material is saying, but that doesn't mean we have to agree with it. So I'm just putting that out there.
I totally get that too. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you for bringing that up, Tanya. I think that was a helpful distinction. What I wanted to read, now I'm going back to his writing, but this is I found this to be really helpful. Beginning with the long restorative. So remember, in the beginning, it's just recognizing today I'm not going to make decisions by myself. If I make those decisions by myself, this is the day my ideal spiritual day will be given. But if we get snagged in resistance, we can say, I have no question, I forgot what to decide, go back to that open mind, start over. If that doesn't work, we have these next several statements in italics in this section, which is known as the longer restorative. So that's what I'm going to read in his commentary, are these latter longer restorative italicized lines. But I'm reading these lines. This is from his commentary on this section. So he's added his wording to these lines to help us understand it. And I thought it was helpful. So here's what he said. And I'm just going to just let this flow over you. I love that image, Tanya, that we don't get, you know, tripped up by trying to figure out every single meaning of every single thing. Just let this flow over you. So reading all those italics together with Robert's tweaks, at least I can decide I do not like feeling, let's say, angry and fearful about asking the Holy Spirit. And so I hope I've been wrong that asking him means loss. I want another way to look at this issue of asking. Perhaps there's another way to look at this. Okay, then, what can I lose by asking? So I just liked the flow of what he added to those sentences, because it really speaks to, in context, how this section is helping us move through resistance about asking the Holy Spirit for guidance, because deep down we're afraid that if we ask, we're going to lose something. You know, something might be taken away because we still have this pesky belief in sacrifice pop up from here and there. And so it prompts us basically to be open to seeing this issue of asking in another way, because we have nothing to lose, which hopefully then brings us back to that state of having an open mind surrounding guidance. So I just wanted to share that. Any comments or questions
so far?
Fran, I had a thought come up, but when my fears come up when I'm doing that, I don't feel like I'm fearing that I'm going to lose anything, but I'm fearing I'm not going to hear anything.
Interesting. And it's interesting, right? Because any fear is going to block us from listening, right? So
right.
No matter what the form of the fear is, like, you're afraid you're not going to hear anything, but that's still, in a sense, afraid of being afraid of, like, losing out, missing out, you know, that what is there for you
yeah.
is not going to be received.
Right.
So that's just a thought that comes forward.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
Yeah, and then in a way, then, these kind of can prompt you to keep an open mind surrounding what it might be that you could potentially hear without kind of serving to clear out that fear that you're not going to hear and just staying in that open space as best you can. You know, I don't want to put John on the spot, but
no, I was
going to
jump in actually.
Oh, John, I'm so glad. Okay. We're on the same wavelength. Please jump in.
Yeah. I used to tell myself all the time, I never hear anything. I never see anything. And I was affirming that. And I think that's kind of the same fear too, that, you know, that I will hear something. I think, you know, in that one sentence in paragraph 14 where it says, perhaps, just maybe go with that and say, well, maybe perhaps I won't be fearful, or perhaps I'll hear something. I won't be afraid to hear something. And I had an experience at the gathering today that just was the first time I really it wasn't the first time I heard something. I've been working with a counselor too, and she helped me hear. And it was just kind of opening, because we don't always, I mean, I used to think I'd hear it like Helen did, but no, it doesn't usually come like that. I've heard from just about everybody. But just to be open, I think, is the main thing. And like you were saying, if you feel that fear rising, just say, well, perhaps I can let go of the fear, or perhaps I can, you know, what harm would it do to not be fearful? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's super helpful.
Yeah. And I like, John, that was just really helpful too, how you said that when we're saying I can't hear, you know, guidance or whatever, we're affirming that there's a lack there, rather than keeping that open-mindedness of perhaps I will hear something. there's a difference there.
There is.
I can feel
that.
It
definitely changes your whole perspective.
Was there on the gathering today, so what we're talking about, for anybody who doesn't know, for those of us who are members of Course Companions, they're now doing Sunday gatherings twice a month, and today they had a gathering, and I have not yet watched the replay. John, I know you were there. Did they do any kind of listening exercise on the gathering or no?
No, it wasn't really a listening exercise. It was
okay.
The exercise we did was from instead of praying to God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, it was how Helen had did a lot of her praying, where you pray directly to the person that you're, you know, wanting healing for or whatever. Connect your mind with their mind. That's the type of thing.
Got it. Thank you. That's awesome. That is really, really powerful. I can't wait to listen. But for those, I only know this actually from an earlier recording that Emily and Robert had done, but Helen, just as John just said, Helen didn't pray to God necessarily. That's usually how we think of prayer. Helen would pray directly to the mind of the other individual, you know, for opening to love or whatever, you know, the prayer was. And I just, it was very striking to me to learn that. Pretty neat.
And I think there's a little bit in Cameo one you said, because that's the one with Miss Albert praying over David, who's got the brain to cancer or something.
Oh, right, Dave Diamond. Right.
For
yeah.
those who have
yeah.
the CE version, they can look at Cameo 1.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cameo 1. Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, hi, Corinne. It's Deidre.
Hi, Deidre.
I just wanted to share that there's something coming up for me that, I think as course students, sometimes we have these ideas or rules sometimes that we think, oh, I can only hear God's voice if I'm still, and it definitely helps. I don't deny that. But I have found, like, if you have the intention to truly hear, even if your mind is really full of fear and you're scared, you can still hear. And what I mean by that is I've had moments in my life where, thank God we have this pathway to turn to, where I can say, like, Jesus, I'm literally terrified right now, but I need to hear you. And all it takes is my willingness to say, like, I'm terrified. And there'll be something beneath all of the background noise that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a myth that we have to, like, have completely still minds, because to me that would be, like, bypassing if we are afraid, you know? So I just wanted to share that piece.
Yeah, thank you. I completely, completely relate to and agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Wholeheartedly. And that's such an important point, because we can fall into a trap of thinking that we do have to be perfectly good listeners and totally silent to hear something, and yet we're listening all the time, either to ego or to spirit. And Deidre, you're just making me reflect on just the little feelings throughout the day of just, to me, it's like a feeling in my heart that just lights up, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing or even feeling, you know, I can tune into that and notice that. So thank you for that very important point.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the podcast that you did some time ago with Jean-Marc.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about the analogy of the volume buttons and being able to turn up the volume, and we all have that ability. It's just an intention.
Yeah.
To turn that volume up.
And he also, along those lines, so for anybody who's not familiar, you can listen to this podcast. It's from anxietylove.com/, I think it's 08. I'm just typing it as I'm saying it to see if it comes up. And yes, that's it. So it was from anxietylove.com/08. And it's an episode with Jean-Marc Stroud. And the other point that he made to what Deidre just shared is that when we tune into guidance, let's start with the ego. When we're tuned into, he used the example of, like, you know, you go to a country music radio station. What do you do if you want to listen to hip hop? You change the channel. You don't get mad at the country music radio station for not playing hip hop. You just change the channel. And I think part of what happens when we're trying to listen to guidance is that we're trying to tune in the same way that we always listen to ego, which for me is like a big loud chatterbox in my head. I might try to hear something there, but that's how the ego mostly, you know, how I mostly listen to ego. It's a different channel that I drop into. It's a different place in my body. It's more in my heart, more in my core that I feel that. So I'm glad you brought that up, Deidre, because I really like that radio analogy.
Yeah, super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
You know, Corinne, I've had kind of a problem recently that's been disturbing me. And I find if I go to the workbook lesson or even just open the book and read it, but write while I'm reading, it just, the solutions come. Because now I'm not thinking, you know, I can't get the answer, or I'm not hearing the answer. It's almost like cooperating with with the course when you have a problem. And I am just blown away, but how well this is working for me. When I mean, I don't do it throughout the day, but when I have a problem that's really bothering me and really disturbing my peace of mind, I just find and it doesn't take all that much time to just sit down with a pad and pencil, read the material, and it always relates. I don't care if you just open the book or read a workbook lesson, it's going to relate. And the solutions come so much easier.
So what are you writing exactly? Just whatever comes to mind after reading the lesson?
Whatever comes to mind while I'm reading. But I've always got specifically the problem in mind, you know, first.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the answer is to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I will find so much love seems to come in. The perceptions shift from fear, anger. I mean, and a lot of times I'll start writing that out, the fear, the anger, whatever it is that's really bothering me. But the material softens it somehow.
Mm.
And I'm just amazed at how well that works. It's just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. I love how you're using A Course in Miracles to help you in that process. I do something similar with just first getting out all of my concerns onto paper, like in my journal,
right.
And then the free, like the inspired writing starts coming. Once I, you know, let all that go, I love your process of reading from the book and whatever is coming up for you as you're reading while holding whatever your issue is in mind. That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Because now all the thinking we know the answer is always the biggest problem. But
yeah.
It's just that getting that, all right, I don't know the answer to this. I want an answer to this. And this material.
I know.
Is the way.
I made the point, by the way, when did this happen? I must have mentioned this last week that I was on. I'm sure I mentioned this last week because it happened the Friday prior. I was a guest on TGF TV, and I had the replay if anybody wants to watch it still. And I did send it out an email, so you probably have it already. But one of the points that I just made, and I'm going to say this right now, is that we are just so lucky. Aren't we so lucky that A Course in Miracles is in existence, that Helen, you know, scribed this for us, and it's all done and complete, and we can like buy it and hold it and work with it.
Better than any psychiatrist I ever talked to.
Yes. Oh my goodness. You know, I'll digress for one more moment, and then we'll read again. But Kevin Rice is another Course in Miracles teacher. I don't know if anybody has heard him speak, but I listened to him a few years ago for the first time at one of the conferences, and he told this funny, funny story about how he was an evangelical minister and like preacher, like big, you know, again, very traditional preacher. And he lost his faith. He had a meltdown when, who was that very popular TV preacher who got busted for hiring prostitutes? Jimmy something?
Jim Baker.
Jim Baker.
Jimmy Swagger.
Swagger. I don't know.
And Tammy.
Baker. It's Baker. Why
Baker.
Am I saying, I don't know what Swagger it is, but yeah, Baker. I'm sorry, Kevin Rice, when that happened, he just like crumbled and was like, I need a psychiatrist. And he went to a psychiatrist and he was like, I can't believe this happened. How, you know, and he's totally questioning his faith. And the psychiatrist turns to Kevin Rice and he says, I've never done this before, but you don't need a psychiatrist here. And he hands him A Course in Miracles. The psychiatrist handed him A Course in Miracles. And Kevin uses his abilities repurposed for being an evangelical preacher. He has that same kind of preacher energy with, like, you know, talking with his hands up in the air and being really passionate. That's how he teaches A Course in Miracles. So it's just so amazing to see how we can allow our abilities to be repurposed. And I just thought that was the coolest story, with a psychiatrist being like, I've never done this before, but you don't need a psychiatrist here. You need this. So it is better than any psychiatrist. I agree with you, Paula. Okay, long tangent. Let's come back. Oh, does anybody else want to add anything before I read the next paragraph? Okay, let's read the next paragraph.
Corinne?
This
is Jana, and
Hi, Jana. Sorry.
I came on the call a little bit late, so I'm not quite sure where you're at on this in the CE.
Go to page 878, and we're just about to read paragraph 16.
Perfect. Thank you.
Awesome.
Corinne?
Yes.
Corinne?
Yes.
Corinne, can you spell
the
last name of Kevin?
Rice, just like the food, R-I-C-E.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem. He's great. okay, here we go. The first rule, then, is not coercion, but a simple statement of a simple fact. So the first rule, I'm just going to pause, the first rule being, where did the first rule go? Today, I will make no decisions by myself. So that's what this is referring to. The first rule, then, is not coercion, but a simple statement of a simple fact. You will not make decisions by yourself, whatever you decide, for they are made with idols or with God. And you ask help of Christ or Antichrist, and which you choose will join with you and tell you what to do. Your day is not at random. It is set by what you choose to live it with, and how the friend whose counsel you have sought perceives your happiness. You always ask advice before you can decide on anything. Let this be understood, and you can see there cannot be coercion here, nor grounds for opposition, that you may be free. There is no freedom from what must occur. And if you think there is, you must be wrong. So, all right, we'll pause a minute. I'll read we'll definitely finish up this section, but I'll pause here for a minute since this was kind of a long paragraph. So, simple statement of a simple fact. Today I will make no decisions by myself. We can't make decisions by ourselves. Whoever's counsel it is that we check in with, it says later in this paragraph, our day is set by what you choose to live it with and how the friend whose counsel you have sought perceives your happiness. So think about it. If something comes up and we're like, what should I do? If we're thinking like, oh, well, what could I get out of this situation or what's going to make me happy? If we're just thinking solo, we're probably thinking with the ego. And unless, you know, we're consciously checking in with spirit, like what would you have me do? What should I do? Where should I go? So we're already asking advice before we decide anything. We're either seeking the advice of our small self, which is the ego, or our capital S self, which is Holy Spirit or Jesus. We need to understand this so we can see that there's no coercion, meaning that it's really calling out the fact that there's no coercion in our decision-making because we're always deciding, as it says here, Christ or Antichrist, in other words, Jesus or ego, Holy Spirit or ego, fear or love, whatever words you want to pick. Our day isn't at random because we are consulting with either one of those, and the experiences of the day will be seen through the lens of the teacher we choose to see with, we choose to follow. Okay. Any questions or comments? Let's read the next paragraph. Okay.
Sure.
Jana, go ahead.
I have a question. Okay, so, and I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, so forgive my bumbling, but this is a question that I have been wrestling with for a while, and I would definitely love input from anyone.
Okay.
So it's easy for me to understand when I ask for guidance and things work out wonderfully. It's much more difficult for me to understand when I ask for guidance and things go to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a certain situation that happened to me, and the story's not important, but the question remains that I was very sincerely asking for God's will and God's guidance, and it seemed like, from my limited understanding, that everything went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having some issues, forgiveness issues. This is a forgiveness classroom. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a forgiveness classroom on feeling betrayed by the divine. And so this has been a deep, deep question, and I would really love some insight.
Wow. Well, that's a big question that I think at some point probably all of us face. And the immediate thing that came up for me is going into the manual for teachers in the part on the development of trust. In this section on the development of trust, I'm seeing if I just open to it, it basically talks about the different periods that we go through. There's the period of undoing. That's the first period. That period is when it seems, you know, maybe we're asking for guidance and it seems like things are just falling apart. There is sort of, it's a period of undoing where it seems like we are, here it is. Period of undoing. This need not be painful, but it usually is so experienced. It seems as if things are being taken away, and it is rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. And it goes on to say, these changes are always helpful. And that can be a really tough pill to swallow, because it can certainly, from what you're saying, you know, it doesn't seem that anything can be helpful, but we're not stopping here at this stage. The next one is that period of sorting out, which usually happens when we're the ones that are trying to figure out what's meaningful and what's meaningless. I would suggest just rereading this. I won't go through all of them. There's a period of settling down that comes, then another period of unsettling, then a period of achievement. I find that that is helpful in just understanding, you know, part of it is that we get expectations that when we're on a spiritual path or when we're asking for guidance, that the picture is going to look okay, that the picture is going to get nice and pretty. And yet what that is, that expectation that the picture is going to look pretty, is really just the ego trying to use our spiritual practice to make the world work out okay. And this world is literally not our home. There's nothing we can do to make it our home. And that's deep down really pisses us off. I've gotten like upset about that before when I've been able to access that. So the task becomes then, and the course also says that doubt will come and go to come again. Actually, let me see if I can just open right up to that, because that's at the very, very end of the manual and it's beautiful. Must be at the, I don't know where it is. I'll see if I can find that though. But our task becomes still being willing to see past the picture to the truth beyond. So God's teachers, what we're learning how to do is recognize that the forms, what is the quote, come and go, shift and change, suffer and die, and yet we're learning how to not be deceived by the forms that the dream may take, because no matter what, this is a dream, and we want it to be happy, and we want it to be easy, but it isn't our home, and in those times when the rubber is hitting the road and things are really, really heating up and getting really, really intense, and we're feeling doubt and maybe even anger at God, we have to be honest, completely honest about what it is that's coming up. those are still the times when we can call, if nothing else, just simply coming back to our willingness or even recognizing our unwillingness to heal. Dana, was any of that of use?
Yes, thank you. And I still have some work to do on this. And so the other part to that question, it sounds like I just want to go just a little bit deeper, if you don't mind, just because I have an itch here that needs to be scratched, so to speak. And so if I really prayed for guidance and I have to assume that was given, it was just given in a way I didn't understand, and it was given in a way that, from my limited viewpoint, was the very opposite of what I was asking, that still, from a bigger picture, was being answered.
We have to remember, though, that God is incapable of causing pain. So the Holy Spirit, God, is not going to punish you, trick you, drag you down the road, kicking and screaming. Like, that is of the ego. So if that call for guidance, that asking for guidance was authentic and things went to hell, there is still an answer there that's waiting to be received by you. One of the Course quotes that I love is that a lesson is a miracle, meaning whatever it is that's coming up, there's another way to see it. And remember, this is where going back to that like bigger picture, stepping sort of back and remembering that the ego wrote a script of separation, and it wrote all the mistaken thoughts and, you know, crazy experiences. It wrote this script, and it's over already. We're home. We're safe. But there's part of our mind that hasn't really let go of this yet. Calling on guidance is inviting the Holy Spirit in to reinterpret or repurpose whatever it is that's coming up for it to be used on behalf of our awakening. So if it seems like things have gotten worse, there is still another way. There's still another way to see that situation. And I could see peace instead of this. That lesson, you know, comes to mind immediately for something to turn to.
Could I throw something in here? This is Paula.
Sure. Is that okay, Jana? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Please, Paula.
Thank you, Corinne. Yes. And no, Paula, you have so much wisdom. I always love hearing from you.
Well, page 90 is the answer to any of these problems. I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. But now, in this purple edition, on page 91, there is another prayer. Robert Perry pointed this out today in Course Companions, and it is extremely powerful. And I think relates so well to these big situations that come up that really throw us for a loop. You know, when things just aren't turning out the way we would like them to turn out. So I would suggest this prayer on page 91. It starts with, I would like to pray that my will be united with thine, recognizing that thy perfect love will suffice or correct for my imperfect love. But it goes on. I mean, really, it's a beautiful prayer, and it just could be applied to any situation that's taken us down, you know?
Yeah. Paula, I love that it's on page 91.
Yeah, it's on page 91.
That's so easy to remember.
So I don't know where page 90 is in this book, that prayer.
I must
have decided wrongly. But on page 91, there's something that's just as good.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Let's read the last two paragraphs. And actually, before we do that, I just want to share. I found the part that I was looking for. I've referenced this recently with doubt. It says, this is the epilogue in the very end of the course. It says, forget not, once this journey is begun, the end is certain. Doubt along the way will come and go to come again. Yet is the ending sure. No one can fail to do what God appointed him to do. When you forget, remember that you walk with him and with his word upon your heart. Who could despair when hope like this is his? So I love those words. They're really comforting to me.
I wanted to offer them.
The epilogue. In the CE, it's page 1676.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's go ahead and read our final two paragraphs, so we'll wrap up this section. It says, the second rule as well is but a fact. So let's just review, what is the second rule? The second rule is that if I make no decision by myself, this is the day that will be given me. So it says, the second rule as well is but a fact. For you and your advisor, that's ego or spirit, for you and your advisor must agree on what you want before it can occur. It is but this agreement which permits all things to happen. Nothing can be caused without some form of union, be it with a dream of judgment or the voice for God. Decisions cause results because they are not made in isolation. They are made by you and your advisor for yourself and for the world as well. The day you want, you offer to the world, for it will be what you have asked for and will reinforce the rule of your advisor through the world. Whose kingdom is the world for you today? What kind of day will you decide to have? It needs but two who would have happiness this day to promise it to all the world. And by the way, the two that it's referring to now are now you and your brother. So any, whatever brother, and if you can't think of anybody that you feel joined in a holy relationship with, hello, we're in a group together right now. There's more than two of us here. It needs but two of us who would have happiness this day to promise it to all the world. So if you want that happiness, join with me in that and all of us on the call right now, because I know we want this.
I'm in.
We're in. All right. I'm going to read this one more time.
Me too.
It needs but two who would have happiness this day to promise it to all the world. It needs but two to understand that they cannot decide alone to guarantee the joy they asked for will be wholly shared. For they have understood the basic law which makes decision powerful and gives it all effects that it will ever have. It needs but two. These two are joined before there can be a decision. Let this be the one reminder that you keep in mind, and you will have the day you want, and give it to the world by having it yourselves. Your judgment has been lifted from the world by your decision for a happy day. I have to read that again. That's so good. Your judgment has been lifted from the world by your decision for a happy day. And as you have received, so must you give. So right now, I heard some people joining with me, and you don't have to come off of mute, but if you join with me, join with us in this moment right now, and let's decide to have a happy day, our ideal spiritual day in which we feel the love of God shining in us. We are willing to look out at the world from that love, and as we receive, so must we give. So remember, no matter what, who have already joined, we're doing that right now in this group, and so that's our guarantee that the joy that we are asking for will be wholly shared. The ego cannot prevail. Hooray. Okay. I'm done reading. We ended this section. Any comments or questions before we go for the night?
That was beautiful. That's what I want to say. That was beautiful. And I feel God's love so strongly in this group.
I do too. Thank you, Tanya, for affirming that.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I feel really just so incredibly grateful for each and every one of you, because like this, our joint will, our coming together is literally closing the gap of the perceived separation, which is already closed, but we're joining in the truth of the fact that it's already closed and strengthening this for everyone.
Yes.
As we give, we receive. Yay.
And we so appreciate you, Corinne. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Paula. Yes. Thank you, thank you. I love you all so much. And, yeah, so let's go have happy days. Let's go have happy weeks.
Hooray.
Yay.
Before everybody goes, Corinne, can I say that? Corinne, are you there?
Oh, I'm here, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the course, it just is such a big exercise in faith, mm-hmm. and practicing faith and believing in what it is that I really can see. If I am practicing the lessons and reading the text and allowing my mind to be changed by these beautiful medicinal words, I mean, mm-hmm. eventually, sure, the miracles happen. I just have to be reminded that if it's not happening in the way that I would want it to happen in that moment, if my peace is not restored to me in that moment, just hold on. Just be gentle. Just mm-hmm. hold on. Yeah. And keep moving towards the truth. Keep putting myself in the environment where truth is just going to pour on me, where I'm hearing it from the people I'm spending time with, and they're being just as loving and gentle towards me. Like I always say, I'm sure glad that I, you know, God don't think like me, you know, because all of this, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, all of the judgments I wear myself out with, it's just, it's incredible. And so is his love and his patience for me and for all of us. And so even as I'm going through some challenges right now with my own thinking, that's the funny part. It's like it's my own thinking. So anyway, the mind that created the problem can't be the one that I'm looking to for the answer. So
right,
thank God.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
oh, Carla, that was perfect. Thank you so much. I am so glad God doesn't think like me either. My goodness. We'd be in trouble. That's awesome. Oh, thank you for your beautiful words.
You're welcome. Thank
all
you.
All right, everyone. Good night. I love you all. I'll see you next week.
Love you too. Love everyone.
Love
good
you.
Night.
Bye, everybody.
Love everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Bye. Love
bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Love you too.